day I will stand in the presence of Jesus, and I'll see the Lord face to face. With my very eyes I'll witness His glory when I finally finish my race. But the burdens of life sometimes get so heavy that I need to touch Him somehow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch Him now. I can reach out and touch the hem of His garment. I know He will make me whole. For He's passing by this very moment. Can you feel the virtue that flows? Gates of that city, by grace I will make it somehow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch Him now. I will fall at His feet in the presence of angels and millions of saints round the throne. I'll worship the Lord and sing hallelujah without all the trouble I've known. And I'll see those hands that lifted my burdens.
What a day that's going to be. I can hardly wait. I hope you know what a grand day that's going to be. I'll play the rest of that song in a little while. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. We're going to have a great broadcast together, and I trust that you will enjoy it just as much as I do. Let me cut off this button down here so that we don't have an echo. Hey, it's great to be with you today. We're going to have a great broadcast. We really are. And the broadcast has a special meaning today, so I want you to listen. We're going to talk about the Lamb's Book of Life, but we're going to talk about it in connection with prayer and fellowship, interrelational fellowship with the Father, with the Son in prayer. Do you know the power of intercession? Do you know the power of great biblical praying? I mean, when you pray according to the Bible, when you pray and when you pray with the Word of God behind you. You see, when you pray on the basis of the Scripture. You pray on the basis of the Word of God and the promises. And so today, we're going to talk about intercession, prayer, fellowship with God, with the Father. We're going to talk about our the Lamb's Book of Life and our membership in that book. Did you know that a real Christian is actually a citizen of heaven? Have you ever thought about that? A citizen of heaven. Now, how am I a citizen of heaven? Let me tell you. Simple. My name is in the Book of Life. My name is in the Book of Life. Every person who is truly born again, I mean, they become a Christian. I'm not talking people who just named the name of Jesus, or they just sit on a church pew, or maybe serve in some religious capacity. I'm talking about people who have met the Lord, who've surrendered their life to the Lord, who've been born again. They've repented of their sins. They've trusted Christ to forgive them. They've surrendered their life to His will. They've devoted themselves to the Bible. And they really have a relationship with God. Now, I want to tell you, the last weeks I have been weeping. I mean, I have been sobbing for the lost. I've never had a greater passion for lost people than I've had recently. I mean, I have felt it down to my very being, how tremendous of a multitude there is out there who've never met the Lord, who've never come to know Jesus Christ, and they're lost forever. if they do not come to Christ. And they will spend eternity in, listen, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Let me read to you one of the great scriptures of the Bible concerning the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, this is powerful, as straight as it can be. And it says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, that's the words of Jesus. It is plain as it can be. You can't, you know, there's no way to wiggle around it. That's every word in that verse. And it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," in the book of life, "was cast into the lake of fire." Now, I did a Bible study on yesterday, Thursday, and it's had a tremendous response. Over 500 people have viewed it. And it's just, I mean, this has not even been, well, it has just been 25 hours since I started Bible study, 25 hours and 500. That's wonderful. And I'm excited that people maybe can get interested in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm preaching that in the morning. The Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to offer today a free gift to you of that CD. The CD of my sermon tomorrow. What if you don't do a good job? Well, you just get a bad sermon. But I'm going to trust God that He'll help me do a good job. The Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I need to warn you that if you do not have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no one can do that but Christ. It's the Lamb, you know, the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a book in His possession, I believe with all my heart. It's a book that He is totally responsible for and totally authority over. He can put the name in and He can take the name out. And He has that responsibility. And if you do not put your name in that book, the Bible says your name will rot. R-O-T. That overwhelmed me. I think it overwhelmed a lot of people to understand that whatever you do in this life, however successfully you live, and whatever kind of a dad you are or mother, or wherever your talents are, and you use them to the max. But if you don't know Christ and your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name will rot. Rot. That just breaks my heart for anybody out there that doesn't know the Lord. Well, I'm going to believe before this broadcast is over, there's a lot of you that's going to know the Lord. And you can be saved right during this broadcast. Wherever you at, you can get on your knees. And you don't always have to be on your knees, but that's a beautiful place to do it. I like the mourner's bench, and I like praying down on the floor because it humbles me before God. It makes God know that, hey, this man is not worthy of none of this. I'm not worthy to be a preacher. I'm not worthy to be talking to the whole world right now by Facebook and internet. I'm not worthy to do that. I'm not worthy to be preaching on radio stations. And by the way, we are now on today, they promised me, WSTS down in the Lawrenceburg, Lumberton area, the stations at Fairmont. And so we're on. Now, if you're hearing me, I want you to call and tell my dear wife and one of the ladies that you're listening, and we are on. It's been about 2 months. And I have grieved. Their equipment, of course, went down during the storm, and it had to be replaced. I don't know what all they had to do. They tried other things, but none of them appeared to work. Anybody out there that's heard it in any of the last 2 months, let me know, because we need the record of that. You know, make sure that they don't charge us. They wouldn't. They're not going to try to do that. But we are proud to be back on WSTS, and I trust you're hearing me. And I'm proud of it if you are. Now, let's get in this Bible. Let's try to really get some things settled today. And the purpose of this broadcast is to teach you, to encourage you, to excite you, even to thrill you with the possibility of prayer, with the power of prayer, with the capacity of prayer. Now you got to hear me when I tell you that if you pray like the Bible teaches you to pray, the devil is totally defeated in your life. If you pray like the Bible teaches you to pray, the devil is totally defeated in your life. Now, he's not only defeated in your life, he's defeated in the life of your family if you believe. And if you put yourself on the altar to him, and if you become that intercessor, that contact between your family and God, then the Bible says if you believe, he'll save you and your family. Are you hearing me? I tell you that's very important. And I want you to know that Christ Jesus loves you. He loves your family. And when you come to trust him and obey him, he promises not only your soul, he promises you the soul of your family. So let's talk about that today. Now, you cannot have intercession, prayer like I'm talking about, if your name is not written in the book of life. Now, don't mean you can't pray and God answer you. If you pray the sinner's prayer as a non-believer, he's going to answer you and he's going to save you if you come meaning all to him and surrendering all to him. So in that case, he hears the sinner's prayer, but he saves that sinner. And maybe there are people who are trying to find their way to God, and they've not had any teaching, and they weren't raised in a Christian home, and they don't have a good pastor that they've been able to find to listen to, and they're struggling to find their way to God. I want to promise you, if you're struggling to find your way to God, he's going to hear you, and he's going to help you find your way to him. He's that kind of a God. He cares about you. I've often told people, if you really want to know God, then you take your book of John and you read the book of John and you pray one prayer, I want to see Jesus. And when you pray a prayer, I want to see Jesus, and you mean it. And you keep living in that book of John. Don't listen to my tapes. Don't listen to somebody else's tapes. Just pray that and that one prayer. And you may need to do it a week or two or three. You just keep doing it. I've seen drunkards completely delivered from the power of drugs and made a new creature because they got in the book of John and they prayed the simple prayer, I want to see Jesus. I want to know him. And if you want to know him, he wants you to know him. And that means he will reveal himself to you. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is his agent of revelation. The Holy Spirit is the porter at the door. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who brings everything the Father is and the Christ is and reveals it to you, makes it real to you, and makes it known to you. But you've got to want to know it. You've got to want to understand it. Now, I'd like to take you back to Exodus because I want you to know that this book of life is indeed a massive book, and it's a 6,000-year-old book. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. And so this book was already in his hand, even in the book of Genesis, in creation. And here we have this beautiful picture of Moses, and God is really disgusted with Israel because of their grievous sins. So he's telling Moses, I'm just going to cast them off, and I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to start with you as a single person. And God said, wait, God, listen to what God, he said, yet now, this is Moses talking to God. Would a man dare say these things to God? Well, if he knows God, he can. If he don't know God, he'd be very foolish. But Moses knew God. Moses was acquainted with God. Moses talked to God face to face. And so Moses went to God, yes, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins. But if not, God, if you're not going to forgive their sins, I pray thee, listen now, I pray thee, take my name. I pray thee, take my name. Take my name out of the book which thou hast written. Hey, he even says, thou hast written. This book isn't written by angels. I've been questioning that, and there's the answer, which thou hast written. And the Lord Jehovah, that's the Christ, said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, this settles that it's his book. He is the author. He plainly says here that he had written it. Moses says he's written it. And so it's very clear, and this book is the book of life. It is the book of life. Why haven't we been preaching this more? I'm kind of bothered at me because I have not preached about the Lamb's book of life a lot in my life. Well, I promise you, I'll be preaching about it more because I want men and women to tremble with the possibility of failing their name to be in the book of life. Oh, I tell you what, nothing could be more horrible than for your name not to be in the book of life. The psalmist David had something to say about this. He said, "Let them be blotted out of thy book of the living and not be written with the righteous." He was praying about wicked men, godless men, men who had known God, who had a relationship with God. But now he says, "Let them be blotted out of thy book." Now, there are just many scriptures in the Bible about the book of life. And I want you to know what that book represents. Now, I want you to make sure you understand today that prayer is the great power of a believer. And that's what I'm trying to bring to your mind today, is prayer is the power of the believer. Prayer is how we bring the hand of God into our life. I want to tell you something. There is no such thing as being a great Christian without praying. Christians pray. It is the lifestyle of a believer to want to have fellowship with his God. You understand that when your name is written in the book of life, you are part of the citizenry of heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. And because your citizenship is in heaven, your conversation must be in heaven. And God ought to be the center of your focus and of your delight and of your desire. Now, there's so much about prayer that's so powerful. And I really want us to get to that and see that in relationship to the citizenship that we have in Christ. And that we are literally, literally citizens of heaven. When your name is written in the book of life, you can say, "I am a citizen of heaven." Do you understand that? I hope you start saying that. I hope you start saying, "I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a United States citizen. That's my earthly connection. But I'm a heavenly citizen, and that's my heavenly Father's connection, and my Savior's connection, and the Holy Spirit's connection." And it is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. Remember now, prayer is a Christian's absolute. Prayer is a Christian's absolute. Don't ever even think about not having regular time of prayer with God. The greater your prayer life, the greater your power, the greater your anointing, the greater effect you're going to have upon other people, the greater blessing you can be in the church. There's so many wonderful things that go with a powerful, powerful prayer life. It is not possible. It just isn't possible to walk with God and not pray. It is just not possible to walk with God and not pray. And I want that to get through to you. I want you to feel that. I really do. I really want you to feel that. Your name in the book of life is your assurance of citizenship. And then it is your invitation of a prayer life. It is your invitation of a prayer life. Let me take you to a great passage in Hebrews, before I open the lines here for you, I want you to be in the middle of this conversation that is very important to me. Now listen to this. We're talking about prayer, citizenship and prayer. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. Notice that word veil, which is to say his flesh. His flesh is the veil. Jesus' death on the cross, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross is the door into his eternal presence. He's the veil inside the Holy of Holies. I've been studying for days now about what kind of activity is going on in the temple of God in heaven. What's happening right now? See, heaven is just as real as anything down here is real. And there's a city, heavenly Jerusalem. The Bible says it's on the sides of the north. The Bible makes it plain that there's a temple there, and that the temple Solomon built was but a an earthly likeness to that temple in heaven. I mean, the temple in heaven is a real place. There's a real altar. There's the blood of Jesus on that altar. There is much intercession going on there, as Jesus is our high priest and he intercedes to the Father. There are seraphims and cherubims who are serenading the Father, singing, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." And that book of life is somewhere in that temple preserved, where Jesus has it right near his hand, and he can go and write down names. Can you imagine every day how many names is possibly written in that book of life? Every time a man or woman, boy or girl, anywhere on the face of this earth comes to Jesus Christ and are truly, truly born again, Jesus writes their name in that book. Isn't that beautiful? We're welcome, and we get in by the name of Jesus. Don't ever try to pray without the name of Jesus being the focus of your prayer. You come to the Father, ask him anything in Jesus' name, and he said, "I will do it." Ask the Father anything in my name, and he will do it. That's the word of God. Ask the Father anything in Jesus' name, and he will do it. Now quit being a pauper. Quit living a life of sorrow and brokenness and depression. Quit living a life under such delusion and such trouble. If you are born again Christian, you have a right to God, and you have a right in prayer. And the power of prayer is awesome. It's supernatural. It's dynamic. It brings God into action. Do you understand that? Prayer brings God into action. It brings God into the situation. It brings God into the equation. It brings God into the what you may think is the impossible situation. It brings God into that situation. I know people praying and fasting today about a particular need in that family, and I think that's wonderful. Fasting and praying about a particular need in their family. You ought to learn how to fast and pray. This kind cometh not but by fasting and prayer. Now, fasting doesn't put God on notice. Fasting puts you on notice. Fasting gets your faith open up. Fasting breaks the old flesh that hinders a real prayer life. Hey, friend, there's something beautiful in all of this. Now, I got to open the lines because I want you in on this discussion. Please, you would disappoint me if you don't get involved in this discussion, because I want us to know. I want us to learn. I want us to understand the power of prayer. The lines are open right now. 704-391-0588. Let me bring it up here for you. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. International number there. And then jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I can't leave it up but a minute, because I don't want you to have to look through those numbers to see Brother Chambers. As I sit here, I'll kind of move this a little bit. Oh, well, it doesn't move. Okay. I thought it would, but it didn't. Well, listen to me, friend. I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then don't forget, remember, the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. The line's open. I want them busy, and I want to answer your questions. I wanted to talk about prayer, and we'll be glad to talk about the book of life. See, I'm opening the lines up now to talk about any subject that I can help you with, and I'm going to be doing that from now on, because I don't want to be too narrow. I want to be open. I want to see people saved. I want to see people saved today. If your name is not in the book of life, why don't you decide right now, I want my name in that book of life before Brother Chambers goes off the radio or the internet. Would you do that? You may get on your knees. You may need to go into a bedroom and get alone. You may need to shut an office door if you're at work. You may need to stop the car beside the road if you're going down the highway. It doesn't matter what is your condition as far as the physical, if your heart is ready to surrender to God. If you're ready to say, "Lord, I want to be yours. Lord, I want to be yours." Now, I'm going to give today to everybody who calls me, I'm going to give you a CD of this sermon, the Lamb's Book of Life. That word Lamb, capital L-A-M-B apostrophe S. That means it is the book of Jesus Christ, the crucified Lamb. It's called Lamb because he is the Savior who became the Lamb of God, the Lamb of redemption. And he wants to save you and put your name in that book, because he cares about you. So why don't you let him do it right now? And if you if you're saved and you've got a good question about prayer, I want to hear it. We in a little bit are going to move into the realm of prayer and do our best to understand here. All right, you are on the air. Let me get you up here. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother James.
Hey.
I got a verse I'd like for you to read. It's about the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, the first part of the verse, I don't confuse you. You probably know this. It's about the Antichrist, and it talks about the Lamb's Book.
Where is it at?
It's in Revelation 13 and 8.
Revelation, yes. I'm very acquainted with that verse. At the same time, I didn't plan it, but I'm glad to plan it for you, because I'm here to learn. 13 and 8. This, of course, the chapter 13 is all about the Antichrist, and it... It gives us a picture of this old wicked creature that shall come in verse 8. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay, what's your question?
Well, I would just want you to read that to the audience today, because a lot of people might not know that the only people that won't worship the Antichrist that are left on earth is the ones whose names are in that book of life.
And see, if their name was in the book of life, they would have gone in the rapture, I believe. Now, that's an argument thing. We'll go into further. But there'll be a host, by this time, in this chapter 13 of Revelation, there will be a multitude of people who got saved, who have got right with God. And they have, and their names will have been written in the book of life. And that's really whom he's referring to, in my opinion.
Well, that's what I think. I agree with that. And I just thought there might be some people out there would like to hear that.
Well, you're right. Because if you miss the rapture and you fall on your face and you get yourself right with God, I mean right with God, your name will then be written in the book of life. And then you will be, at that moment, shielded from a degree for a degree from this name. Everybody takes the mark, he says, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Did you realize last week you were not on the Fairmont station?
I haven't been on the Fairmont station for several weeks.
Okay.
Do you know of any of the last 2 months that I've been on down there?
Well, you were on a 2 weeks ago. Now, you were off about 3 weeks during that storm and things, and that's probably happened.
So I was on a week ago.
Well, week before last. Now, you were not on last week.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I didn't know it was any week. I thought we'd been off ever since the storm, which would be about 2 months. But I knew they told me yesterday everything was fixed, so it's fine today, right?
Oh, yes, real good, yes.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank the Lord for WSTS. We're back on. Everybody down there, rejoice with me and grab your phone and let's talk together. I love you, my friend.
Thank you.
God bless you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hi, my name is Justin.
Okay.
And, I've been rushing just about all day.
You've been doing what?
Rushing, driving fast up and down the road to get things done. I know one thing, that rushing makes life boring. And then I've been hearing you talking on the radio. I get this guy a call. Maybe he can give some good words of advice about rushing. Because a lot of
now you're talking in a way with your mouth turned to something, and I'm not hearing what you're saying. Can you say that again? And say it calmly now. You sound overly excited.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
What I was saying was, I've been rushing all day. I have no chance in the world and time in the world to have the opportunity to study my part in a church play. And a church play is called No Pillow for the Head. And I don't know what I'll say. I've been rushing.
Would you do this for me? I sense that you need somebody to take a moment with you and pray. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? Are you ready to give your life to Christ?
Yeah, I've been saved for a while.
All right, so you have been saved for a while. You call me at 15 minutes after 2. And I'm going to take a few minutes to talk with you and help you get yourself settled and pray with you for God to give you a miracle. Because I sense a difficulty, and I'm not even understanding most of what you're saying. And so I'm going to look for your call, okay? I care about your soul. I promise. I promise. Now give us a call out there. I want to help you. I want you to understand this Bible. I want you to know, one, that your name is written in the book of life. And two, I want you to know how to pray. I want you to learn. A Christian must learn to be a prayer warrior. No man or woman can be a true, old-fashioned Christian and not learn the power of prayer. Prayer is your link with God, your lifeline. Lifeline. I'm telling you, prayer is your lifeline, and you're desperate. Every one of you out there, you're desperate to know the power of prayer. And you're desperate to know that you are indeed a child of God and that your name is written in the book of life. Now, I'm going to read for you this great scripture in the book of Proverbs 10 and 7. You got to hear this now. When a wicked man dieth, I'm sorry, where am I at? The book of Proverbs, I was in chapter 11 instead of chapter 10. Sorry, chapter 10, Proverbs, verse 11. The memory of the just is blessed. The memory of the just is blessed. If you are a godly man or woman, and you live a godly life, I promise you that your memory will be a wonderful memory for your family, your loved ones, your church. I think of people in this congregation who've gone on to meet the Lord, and my memory of them is blessed. My memory of them is blessed. You got mothers and dads out there, grandfathers, grandmothers. You may even have children who died in the faith, who knew the Lord. Maybe they were killed in an accident. Maybe something else happened. Maybe they just took sick and died. And your memory of them is beautiful because you know they are in heaven. You know they belong to God. So he says the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. That overwhelmed me when I read that. The name of the wicked shall rot. If you are a wicked man or woman, then your name will go down in complete decay. Best word I try to come up with here. Decay. Your name will rot. And I'm telling you, you don't want to play with the book of life. You don't want to pray with this business of whether your name is in the book of life or not. Do you hear me? Now, while you are calling, I want to really speak about prayer a little bit. I want to get you involved in a prayer life that will change your family, that will change your life. I want you to learn that there is incredible power in prayer. I mean, incredible power in prayer. And if you pray as God has ordained for you to pray, and I'm going to read you some scripture here to try to really get you to understand the incredible power in prayer. No book in the Bible has more wonderful truths about prayer than the book of Matthew. I always love it. Listen to this. This is Matthew 11 and 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And then notice what he says. And the violent take it by force. By force. Did you know the kingdom of heaven is under siege out there? The last 8 years, this nation has come against prayer and the name of Jesus and biblical truths. And there's a multitude out there still doing it. They're fighting like a horse against anything about God, any conservative value, anything about the killing of unborn children. They just want to live like they please, no strings attached. They don't want us preachers to have a right to pray in public. And that is in the making. In the minds of many people. But I know it's turning around, and I thank God for that. But I want to tell you, friend, prayer is an awesome power. It's an awesome power. And you can have a life of prayer that will be absolutely dynamic. That will be absolutely dynamic. I promise you, it will make a difference. Let me read to you now Matthew 8 and 18 here. I'm sorry, Matthew 18 and 18. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask, whatsoever ye shall bind, it says, on earth, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Now, if you will understand that scripture, and I could help you to grasp it, your name is written in the book of life. That's my first concern today. Your name written in the book of life. I don't want your name to rot for eternity. I want you to have a life that is full of promise. And that's what Jesus offers you, a life full of promise. Let me stop here and tell you to grab your phone and let's talk. I want to talk to some of you, some real saints that know the power to prayer, some real saints that would like to know the power to prayer. I want to talk to you. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800, very important, 338-7884, and then our local number, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. Let's talk real quickly. Now remember, when you call, tell the ladies you want the free gift today, which is a CD. A CD now, you can listen to on your CD player, of my sermon tomorrow morning on the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you have any question about the Lamb's Book of Life, about the name of the wicked rotten, if you have any question about those whose name can be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life, if you have any question on that subject, I'm right here ready to help you try to understand. And we'll do it with the Bible, not with some known wisdom on our part, but with the Bible. And then to know the power that those people who are citizens of heaven, whose name is written in heaven. See, the book of life is in heaven. So when your name is written in the book of life, it's written in heaven. And that thought is used interchangeably in the Bible. Your name is in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. Your name is written in the book of life. All means the same thing. All means the same thing. So that has given you now the privilege of a great prayer life. A great prayer life. You have a son that's lost. Someone called me this week. Their son's in prison. You have a right, mother. Listen to me. You have a right, mother, to get on your knees and bind that stronghold in his life and pray for that dear son until the Holy Spirit reveals and makes known to him, pulls down the stronghold, and opens his heart and life to be saved. I don't believe a one of you have one family member out there that's lost that can't be brought to God if you will set yourself to pray. Are you saying, Brother Chambers, that God will take advantage of them? I'm not saying that. And I'm not going to say there isn't some situations where there are people so wicked and so determined that all they'll do is hate you when you're praying. I even believe in most cases they can be brought to God because I know the power of prayer. I have prayed and had God to tell me he was answering that prayer and when he was going to answer it. And I knew exactly the day that prayer was going to be answered. I'll never forget a couple who attended a church that I was a shepherd of a few years ago. And I was praying for them, believing God to save them. And one day, as I was waiting, and I'd been interceding, I'd been fasting, I'd been crying out, and God spoke to my heart and said, I'm going to save them Sunday. I'm going to save them Sunday. And it thrilled my soul. And so I go to church Sunday just so excited. They're going to get saved this morning. Well, Sunday school was over and they were not there. And we started worshiping and the choir was singing and they were not there. And I'm standing in the pulpit. I'm waiting about time to preach the message and they're not there. And suddenly I saw them coming up the steps of the church. In that particular church, you could see right out the back door if it was open and watch people come up the steps. And I'm in the pulpit and I watched them come up the steps. I knew then what the Lord had said to me was going to be fulfilled. Well, I always know what the Lord says is going to be fulfilled. Remember, I announced to you for actually years, but especially the last year, that Hillary Clinton would not be elected as president, that God has shown me that. And I knew down to the wire that she would not be elected as president. Did you ever get a little bit afraid? Only one time. The evening of voting, the media was ready, were already coronating her. They already had her elected. Everything was in her favor. The accounting people, as they come out of the voting booths and asking them questions, and they're doing this poll analysis, and all they had her winning. And I came to the church and I said, Lord, now, Lord, you know what you told me. And they're telling me I've already lost, and that what I said is not going to happen. But I believe you, God. Now I need you to help me. Don't you leave me hanging out to dry. Don't leave me out here, God, in this disappointed situation. And I cried out to God right in there in the altar. And the sweetness of the Holy Ghost settled down on me from my head to my toe. And I knew it was okay. I knew God was in charge. And I got up from my altar, took my Bible, and my went home, and I got my tablet, you know, with my news, and I sat down in my chair in my Holy of Holies. That's my library, my study. And I just waited, and I watched it as it progressed. And I knew, finally, I went to sleep there in the chair because I was exhausted, but I knew we were winning. And I knew God had kept His word. And God always keeps His word, by the way. And if you don't know that, then you need to learn that. So are you willing to become a prayer warrior for your family? You see, you are a citizen of heaven if your name is written in the book of life. And I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to compare today. I'm trying to put two subjects together. The Lamb's book of life and the power of prayer. Because they go together like two fingers on one hand. If you have your name written in the Lamb's book of life, you can pray and the devil be defeated. You got to understand that. And you got to claim that. And you got to rest in that. Are you hearing me? You got to rest in that. It's got to become a lifestyle with you. And you've got to know your name's in the book of life. And you have a right to pray for your family. Don't let your children go to hell. You may say, my daughter is gone so far, and my son is gone so far, and you may have all of these things troubling you. But I'm telling you, you can pray, and God will hear you, and God will answer you. Now, keep calling me. We've got 20 minutes, and I want to talk with you about prayer. I want to talk with you about your name in the book of life also. You're going to be on the air here. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I just wanted to say that Donald Trump, in the White House, like God allowed the snake to be in the Garden of Eden. But you will find out who he really is now that he's in the White House. You'll find out who he is, because we already know who he is. We know he's a liar. We know he is a rapist, because he said it himself. We know he's a liar.
But I understand your feelings. I am not going to be your enemy because you despise Mr. Trump. But now you need to understand he's been elected.
Can I say this one more time? I don't dislike him. I don't dislike him at all. Personally, I think he's a nice guy, personally. But he said it those things himself. And we know he's a liar.
I don't know what you said or you think he said that assure you he's a liar. But I don't think he's lied out there campaigning. I'm sorry. I disagree with you. But we're going to be friends. And he's your president now. Now you need to get off of your stage. Get away from your pulpit.
I don't dislike him. I don't dislike him.
Well, then go to praying for him and go to being behind him as your president.
And he will be my president. I don't dislike him. I don't dislike him. But again, what I'm saying to you is God allows a snake.
That is not a good comparison. That is not a biblical comparison. That is just your way of thinking, and it's not right, my dear friend. Please hear me.
Right.
Be my friend, and don't let that go any further. To make a statement like that, God allowed the devil to be in the Garden of Eden, and now God has allowed Trump to be the devil in America. I don't think that's a good comparison, and I have to reject it, but I want to do it as your friend and not as your enemy.
right. And I think he's going, I don't know what's going to happen, but you'll see what's going to happen in the White House.
Well, it's going to be better than what we've had the last 8 years, and it couldn't be worse than the last 8 years, that's for sure. Would you agree with that?
Nothing about him.
Hey, let me ask you again. Could you agree that it couldn't be worse than what's happened the last 8 years?
Hillary was...
I'm not talking about Hillary. I'm talking about Obama.
Obama did a lot of good things.
He did. Tell me what he did good.
Yeah. There were a lot of good things.
He has been the biggest liar I've ever heard of in my life.
I don't know one thing Trump has ever done to help the poor people.
Well, I know you and I are going to disagree, and we're going to take it no further. Hillary would just been another 4 years of Obama, and I'm glad she didn't get it. And it was God's hand, not mine. It was God's work, not mine. It was God's will, not mine. When God spoke to me that she was not going to be president, I never doubted it. I knew it. I wrote a big article on it and told what God had said to me and why God had said it to me. And there's no question, it was the hand of God, not the hand of Brother Chambers. And you are my friend, and I hope you will just stay tuned and keep listening to the good things that may happen.
I feel like God allowed him to God allowed him to go in there.
You are my friend, okay? You are my friend. Well, listen, friend, it's very important that we do our best now to move on. Some good things are beginning to happen, some things that needed to happen a long time ago. And I know it's going to be a job to drain the swamp of Washington, but the church world needs the swamp drained just like Washington needs the swamp drained. Now, that subject is okay. As I've said, I'm open now to any subject that you bring up on this program. I'll be kind as I was to him. He's a nice man. I don't think there's any question. And I can understand what he feels. And so I'm going to just pray for him, and I'm going to be his friend. And I'm going to be your friend. So if you have a call, a question, you want to make a comment, let's talk especially about prayer. I'm really praying for the president-elect, because I want him to make right decisions. I want him to do right things. And I'm praying that God will go and look far beyond the man and somehow give America a reprieve, a return to some values. When you realize that the last 8 years, it was homosexuality to the core. I mean, it was a absolute determination to cram homosexuality down our faces. Well, there's a lot of people who are homosexuals that I want to see saved. I've never met a homosexual yet that I didn't treat him kind, that I didn't offer to tell him about Jesus, that I didn't do my best to show him there's forgiveness, that he can be delivered from that lifestyle. He can be brought into the beautiful lifestyle of a man or a woman, and not a freakish kind of lifestyle. I care about these people. I really do. And I'm here to win the lost. I am praying. This pastor is praying like I've never prayed in my life. This pastor is making that sanctuary and that altar a place that I am trying my best to live at as much as I possibly can. Because I care about you, and I care about your families. I care about your name being in the book of life. I care about your children being saved. I care about every good thing I can imagine out there. And I'm trying to help you. Let's get in the Bible. Let's learn the mighty power of prayer. Now, I read you this great scripture. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever. And Jesus said that. Now, he didn't say that just because you bind something. The lifestyle behind that has got to be a lifestyle of power and anointing. It's got to be a lifestyle full of the Spirit. It's got to be a lifestyle that the name is written in the book of life. It's got to be a godly lifestyle. Prayer is not just something anybody can do in every circumstance, under any old condition, in any old careless manner. No, praying is the action of godly men and godly women that brings God into their life, that brings God into their situation, that brings miracles into their homes and families and their churches. And I believe God is going to give us a revival right here in this sanctuary, in this city of Charlotte. That's going to stir this city to the very core. We believe to see a lot of people saved and their lives changed. And I hope you will join me and be a prayer warrior with me. How many of you out there would call right quick and say, I will join you in prayer? And I pray that you'll pray. If you don't agree with Donald Trump as your president, start praying for him. Start pleading the blood of Jesus and praying for the powers of the enemy to be broken against him. See, when a man gets elected in America to any office or any country, really, the enemy immediately begins to try to take dominance of their life and to take them captive. The Bible speaks of people taken captive at his will, at Satan's will. And he wants to, a man in an office like Donald Trump is going to be, oh, the devil wants to walk through him and make mincemeat out of him and get him to making the dumbest, foolish decisions that could be his destruction. Well, the hand of God can stop that, and the hand of God can protect him. The hand of God can affect his mind. Let me read you something here that really is powerful. It's wonderful in my life. And I depend on this holy book with all of my heart in my prayer life. And it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And that war is talking about spiritual warfare. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, after the old carnal man. We don't pray according to the carnal desires and the carnal appetites. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen to that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got a stronghold in your life? You got a stronghold in your family? You got a stronghold in your son, your daughter, some other friend, some other member of the family? I'm here to tell you that you commit yourself to a godly, sweet, tender life. You commit yourself to walking in the Holy Spirit and living a life full of the Holy Spirit. And then make your life a prayer life of getting before the Lord and staying there some lengthy times to really pray through. You got to have more than a now I'll lay me down to sleep. You know, to really pray through, you got to have more than a few minutes of just wishing for something you want. And that's not praying. Praying is when you get before God and you cry out to him with all your heart and you're seeking God to show himself mighty. Listen, though the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly things. We're not fighting with sticks and guns and you know, shovels and forks. We're fighting by the power of the Holy Spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now notice, casting down imaginations. Imaginations and every high thing. And what is a high thing? That's something that somebody has got in their mind, that Satan has elevated it until it becomes more than just a thought. It becomes a bondage. It becomes a bondage. It becomes something that takes hold of you, that grips you, an excuse not to serve the Lord, an excuse to follow the world, an excuse not to be a Christian. Oh, you may say, I know there's some hypocrites over there, and I'm not going over there with those hypocrites. Well, do you want to go to hell with those hypocrites? If you don't go to church with some hypocrites, you may just go to hell with some hypocrites. So what you need to understand is you're not the judge. And so quit trying. Turn them over to God. I've seen people that hurt my heart so bad, and I didn't go after them. I didn't try to destroy them. I didn't try to put up articles on the internet against them. I didn't try to do mean things. I just turned them over to God. I mean, literally, and forgave them. You must forgive your enemy whether he asks you or not. Have you got that? You must forgive your enemy whether he asks you or not. Now, I'm telling you, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you can go to God for your family. You can go to God for your own self, your husband or wife. You can go to God for the president, for your pastor. It doesn't matter. Name the name you have on your mind. And I promise you, you can go to prayer and God answers prayer. Now, I want to tell you, you've got a little time here. I'm going to take a call, but you got a little time. I want you to keep calling and let me give you the free booklet. I'm sorry, CD, a CD, an audio CD to hear the sermon tomorrow. If you can't be here, a CD on the Lamb the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. You will love that gift, and I want you to have it. And you're on the air, my friend. May I help you?
Pastor Chambers, how are you on, Brother Charles?
Hey there.
But Pastor Chambers, I'm listening to what you're talking about, the way the world is going, the way of the demonic. They're not, like you said, it's leading to the one world church that Dr. Albert Big Green used to preach about on the Gospel Hour.
Yeah.
They got these new, like you said, like these new age Bibles and denying the verbal inspiration of the Bible, like you said, preached about and Dr. Green preached about it. It's here, Pastor Chambers.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I saw a little lady who came to our school about 30 years ago, a few days ago at a funeral home, and she said, Brother Chambers, her name is Penny. She said, Brother Chambers, oh, Brother Chambers, everything you used to preach to us, we see it. It's happening. It's been happening all along. And I thought, isn't that beautiful? Here's a student 30 years ago remembers Brother Chambers warning her and telling her what was coming down the pipes, and it's coming. And Jesus, any moment, is going to appear, and we're going to be gone.
Yes, sir, Brother Chambers. He's coming in a twinkle. The Bible said, all through the Bible, John gave a testimony of that. In John, the 14th chapter, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. If it's so, I will come again.
Thank you, dear lady.
I'm a man.
I'm sorry. Thank you, dear sir. And God bless your heart.
Thank you, Pastor Chambers.
And keep walking with God, my brother.
Thank you, God.
And forgive me there. Forgive me. I didn't mean to make that mistake.
That's okay.
I can only hear what my ears pick up, and my ears are not as young as they used to be. I have to wear a hearing aid in these last days.
Yes, sir. That's like Dr. Green.
You're precious. He was a great man. I remember when Dr. Green was on, he must have been gone 20 or 30 years.
Yes, sir, Pastor Chambers, and God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you for calling me and telling me that, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
I love you. I love you. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, to me, that's just wonderful. Hey, let's spend these last 5 minutes with several calls. You've heard what I've talked about, and I think I've been right on target. I'm talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no other way for you to be saved. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. God won't remember your name. The world won't remember your name. But you in hell will remember your name. You'll be the only one who will know who you are. And you'll be in the flames of an eternal fire forever. Don't take that chance. Don't take that chance. Don't think maybe I'll make it at the last minute. No, very few people ever get saved on their deathbed. Some may do, but if you plan it that way, I'm going to tell you, you're not very likely to experience it that way, and don't take a chance. Get yourself right with God. Get on your knees. Find God and learn to pray. Learn to be a prayer warrior. Learn to be a prayer warrior. I know it's almost Christmas time. Hey, Merry Christmas out there to everybody. Hadn't said that to you yet, but I'll be putting it on Facebook this week, and I'll make sure you hear it from me. I'm telling you, Merry Christmas to all of you, and learn to pray. When you got spare time during Christmas, get in your room or in the bedroom or go upstairs in some spare room. Find you a place. Get alone with God and stay there until you pray through. Stay there till you pray through. And when you pray through, then you just give yourself to God and understand that God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Oh, I love the power of prayer. And I'm telling you, you can defeat the devil every time. The devil. I like the old saying I used to say all the time. I say it once in a while now. He who is on fire for God is too hot for the devil to handle. He who is on fire for God, with God, is too hot for the devil to handle. I'm here to tell you, you can defeat the devil. Is your name in the Book of Life? Every person out there, internet, Facebook, it don't matter. Answer me the question. Raise your right hand if you can say, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to see it, but those around you will see it, or you'll see it. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nothing like knowing that you are saved. Now, I've given you a program right from my heart. The real effort is to teach you how to be an intercessor, how to pray, how to see people saved, how to get your loved ones to God, how to help the people you work around. There's nothing more wonderful than somebody on the job who lives so close to Christ that all the people around them that know them will come to them when there's a need and say, "Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" Are you that kind of a Christian that those around you want you to pray for them? Or have you been so contradictory in your prayer life, your Christian life, that they don't really have much confidence in you? You know, it's very important that you so live this life that nobody doubts who you are, that nobody doubts that you're real. Nobody doubts that you're truly a Christian. Now remember, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 18. Then remember the book of Revelation, that's chapter 11, verse 12. The world suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. That's God's people who get in there and give themselves to Holy Ghost praying, and they take revival and have revival. We can have revival if you will help. We're going to have a revival over at this church because I've got people already praying. I think we've got more praying going on in this church than I ever remember in all my life. And I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm encouraging them to be in that altar. We come early on Sunday at 5 and pray till 6. And I got to make you announcements here, but you're welcome to come pray with us. Wednesday night, we have a family dinner together. This Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And you're welcome to come and be with us and eat with us. We'd make you so much at home. Tomorrow morning, that's, what is it, the date? Well, it would be the 18th, 19th, I guess. 18th, I guess. Well, tomorrow morning, we give a fruit bag to everybody in our family. It's being fixed now, a fruit bag for everybody. Sunday night, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. But then Christmas Day, which is Sunday week, Christmas Day, there will be Sunday school and preaching on Sunday morning. No Sunday night service, but Sunday school and preaching on Sunday morning on December the 25th. It'll be a special Christmas service, and you'll enjoy it. I promise you, that's Christmas Day. There will be church at Paul Creek. Christmas Day, there will be church at Paul Creek. I love you. You're important to me. You can keep calling now to get the free CD on the Lamb's Book of Life. Call 1-800-338-7884. Or you can call the local number 704-391-0588. I want you to know we love you. You're important to us. We're going to go back to that good music, okay? I want you to hear that good music. Very important, if I can get the right thing.
If I can turn.